Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Tuesday. First with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at Monday. The Flying Fox drama continues, like all good dramas should. And speaking of things councils waste their time on, when smells are too smelly, and I think Marcus is excited about the opening of a new Chipmunks. But first up, can this blue-green coalition idea ever get off the ground? Here's Andrew Dickens. He's standing in for Rachel Smalley this week.
This is just like 1996, the first MMP coalition building election. But since then, things have been easier because all the parties involved are less bolshy. And they've ridden through the coalition building without people getting too incensed about the whole tail wagging the dog thing. But the process has always been the same, and Winston is just playing the game that we designed. In 96, the negotiations dragged on forever. Michael Laws always claimed that Winston wanted to go for National right from the get-go, but kept talking to Labour to get the best possible deal. So, 21 years later, I say forget that. We're wise to such a simple negotiating trick, Winston. You get one policy, mate, that you have to make real. Make your call. Today's good. I'm not busy. What do you stand for? More than just perceived power and vanity cabinet positions. And don't be pussies, National and Labour. Remember, you have the power, not Winston and his eight dwarves. Here's a quick call for me about this whole coalition. Labour, I think, should avoid a three-way coalition. Heather Duplessis-Allen said this in the Herald yesterday. They've got a new leader just 8 weeks in, so full of potential. You have to ask the question, do you want one term or three in a three-way? Meanwhile, National and New Zealand First should just get together and work on maybe just the Super Gold card, and there we go, job done, coalition made. Plus, I think the Greens need to get over themselves and get behind a government for the first time in their lives.
Yeah, a lot of people are talking about this now. It's not something that's ever really been seriously discussed before, the idea of the National and the Greens working together. Can Leighton see it happening?
The idea of MMP is very simple. The people who can cobble together a government over 60 seats in a 120 seat parliament, they win the group. Doesn't matter how many there are. It doesn't matter how many new little groups there might be. If, for instance, we were to lower the threshold down to 3 or 2%, as some people want, it is the number who can get together and agree that they will work together. And you could have National with the number of seats that they have at the moment, but they could be done out by 5 or 6 or 7 other little parties. Could happen. Happens in all sorts of places. So they generally don't last long, of course, as governments. You get look at Italy, for instance. You get an election within 12 months. And whatever happens in New Zealand, you could see the same. Not saying it will, I'm just saying you could see the same, depending on the stability of the arrangements, and that means who's involved. Could National and the Greens coexist? If you listen to the Green spokes, well, not official, but the Green spokeswoman this morning, you'll have learnt that nowhere on this planet should it ever happen. It would be a sin of monumental order, and it would wreak havoc in the Green Party, and undoubtedly would cause some grief in the Nats as well, but nowhere near as much as it would in the Greens. And then if you listen to, ex-prime ministers of New Zealand and a few others, of course they should be. I mean, it's their responsibility to. What a load of nonsense. It's nobody's responsibility to do anything other than what they want. Once they've got their seats in Parliament, the party decides what it will do, either through its leadership or through its membership, or a combination of both. And it's really that simple. There is no obligation.
Yes, that's right. We vote, and then democracy goes out the window because we no longer have any say after we vote. It doesn't really work, does it? Mind you, it could be worse. Could be work the same way as councils do. This Flying Fox in Christchurch, some people complained was too noisy. It got taken down. It got put back. There's been a report done. Where are we at with this thing? It's been going on for a long time now. Here's Ian Reid talking to Rachel Smalley, standing in for Larry Williams, who's standing in for Mike Hosking.
So, hand on heart, is the Flying Fox too loud?
No, not anymore.
Why isn't it?
Originally, the one that Naitahu put in originally was 63 decibels, and the nighttime level's 50 decibels.
So, has it been adjusted so that it's not as loud? What are the levels now at night?
At the moment, they're at 45 decibels, and the daytime level has to be 50 decibels. Remembering your ambient noise during the middle of the day is about 60 decibels, so it's actually quieter than nothing going on in the middle of the park.
That said, you probably can't hear it from your place, is that right? You're a block away.
No, absolutely not. No, it doesn't. The park doesn't. I can't hear any of the park from where I am.
Okay, so who are the people who want it gone?
There's three main residents next to the park.
Right.
Which is still a small minority of the actual neighbours to the park. But there are three neighbouring properties.
There's one mother I know, she's a mother of four. She says it's about 20 metres from her fence, this flying fox, and it was put there after her house was built and after she moved in. Now, she said teenagers come and hang around it in the wee hours. It makes a lot of noise when they're using it at 1:30 in the morning. Do you have some sympathy for her situation?
I do certainly have sympathy, and she was the first house to build an entire subdivision, but she did build next to a reserve with a restriction of a 1.2 metre high see-through fence. So there has to be some due diligence and responsibility taken on her behalf, the fact that she has bought next to a reserve.
Okay, so there's a lot of decibel counting going on there. There seems to be a lot of drama about playgrounds these days. I know in Orewa, adjacent to where I live, the Roctopus has been shut down. Don't know what's happened there. That's a great thing. This is the thing with four arms that stick out with sort of tyres that you sit on. It gets a bit unbalanced when I ride on it, admittedly. Me and three small children. It's probably not appropriate now that I think about it. So let's move on quickly to other council business. The person who lives next door to the pie shop that's too smelly.
We do have members of staff who have calibrated noses.
Yes.
That is to say, they attended a lab in Lower Hutt some years ago, and their susceptibility to different types of odour was measured at that point, which is well and good, but the law has since changed, and now the threshold we most commonly use to trigger enforcement action is whether or not the smell is offensive and objectionable to the common person in the street. So it's no longer the domain of talented and skilled noses, which are applied by local and regional government people. It's what the law believes would be objectionable to the individual in the street. And because of that, there's no longer any need to train our noses and to be calibrated. So the system has fallen into disrepair because it's been outmoded by new legislation.
How disappointing!
What did your noses go on to do? What do you do when the council doesn't need you as a nose anymore?
I don't know. I mean, I suppose. I mean, you just wander off somewhere. I think it's pretty on the nose.
Follow your nose, don't you? Really?
I feel like those were fair attempts at nose jokes, but they stunk. We're going to finish up. I'm a dad joke teller. I'm licensed to tell dad. I've got two licenses. Here's what's been going on with Marcus's life lately.
Boy, oh boy, did I have a fun weekend. Wow. And to cap it all off, get this. Took the children to Chipmunks. And it was brand new. I'd be surprised if it was opened a week. And for those of you that hung out at Chipmunks, always good, but you get one that's brand new, it's like, wow, man, is this clean or what? Jeepers creepers. Talk about a good time anyway.
Again, I'm left wondering with Marcus, is he actually being serious? Because those indoor play places, they are hell on earth. It's one of the great things. There's not too many good things about parenting teenagers. But at least they're too old to go to those places anymore. And I know it was brand new, but surely it still smells vaguely of urine and feces and vomit, like they all do. I mean, they are just a breeding ground for new life, basically. And not the good kind. The 1950s science fiction movie kind. You know what I mean? Anyway, crazy old day yesterday. That was News Talk ZB. It'll be a crazy old day today, I'm sure. And I'll be back here again same time tomorrow to talk about it. See you then.